Welcome to the Rock Live podcast, where we are going to talk about life here at The Rock. And we just celebrated 37 years of God being faithful in this city, in this region. And we just want to share some of those fun stories. Maybe you have a story that you'd like to share about your time here at The Rock. Again, it's been 37 years, Pastor Dan.
37
now,
years.
Now, I have not been here all 37 years.
Neither
Pastor
have
Jessica
I.
has.
Pastor Jess is an OG.
I am 19 years in. What are you?
I'm 25 years in.
Okay. Aaron?
You're talking to people behind the camera now.
18.
And Ethan?
20.
His whole life.
That's what I wanted out of people's whole life. So
whole
these guys are
life,
in their early
20s. Lifers.
And they really know life at The Rock.
Yeah, I came in the year 2000, and that's when I was invited to play in my Christian rock band. Mm-hmm. And we had a band called 5 Cent Redemption. Got it off the top of a Coke can.
Wow.
We were all telling band names and all that kind of stuff.
Okay,
and
yeah.
One of the guys goes, "What about 5 Cent Redemption?" And we were all like, "Huh.
That's funny.
Sounds good."
I think it's always crazy how band names were chosen back in those days.
Yeah. So
back in those days.
We get invited with Pastor Eddie Elguera, who was the youth pastor at the time, and my buddy Tom, who was kind of like my SPT.
Yeah.
Like my faith-filled friend that helped me with discipleship. He had come to The Rock and was helping out with the youth ministry, and so he invited our band to come and play. Mm-hmm. And when he invited us, he said, "And I got a girl I want you to meet." And so that's how me and Pastor Jessica met. Rest is history. Fell in love, got married, pastoring, all that good stuff. So,
So my first week here or visiting The Rock was at the old building in Loma Linda.
Okay.
And there was a video of the groundbreaking of the building we're in now. So it was like a year. So it was June of 2002, and then June of 2003, we moved in.
I may have filmed that video.
Oh, wow.
Because I remember they sent me over because we were back from school for the summer.
Yeah.
We had a break, and so we left a car in Tulsa, and we rented our apartment at half price to store all of our stuff
so
we didn't have to move it.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Right? So they basically turned our apartment into a storage unit for half price.
Uh-huh.
And then we came home, and I remember I was working on the maintenance team, and they were teaching us how to clean and, you know, take care of the building over there.
Yeah.
And so Pastor Luke and I remember crawling around in the roof and organizing all the stuff from the plays and everything like that. But there was one point where they said, "Hey, can you go over to the property, the new property, and film a Rock Report?"
Yeah.
And so I got one
That's
of the...
That's what it was called, right? Rock
the
Report.
Rock Report, yeah. And so I got one of the contractors, and we went and we filmed the Rock Report, and it was, you know, I think we were up on Waterman with him, and then in the background, you could see all the construction, everything going on.
Yeah.
So it may have been filmed by me. I don't know.
That's really cool. No, those were fun, and I had come from smaller churches, so I'd never really seen anything like that, that quality and that, you know, editing and all this fun stuff in church, and so...
You guys had the overhead projector?
Yeah.
A little transparency film?
Back in the day, and maybe if you've been in church back in the days, you remember those transparencies. And then we got really technologically savvy, and the person, if they were on it, they'd put a piece of paper over the words that weren't being used, and they'd slide down the...
Wow, that's cutting edge.
Because otherwise, if you just have the whole song,
where are
you're
you
like,
singing?
Where are we? So the person was like...
They just...
Yeah, tracking along.
Pull it down.
And I mean, that was an important ministry. Can you imagine? Imagine like nowadays a pro presenter being on the wrong page. Right?
It happens.
It's a valuable position.
It does happen,
people.
And then I don't know what to sing.
Right. Right. And then you get, and then you're like looking back, who's the pro presenter person?
I'm texting someone.
Yeah.
I'm like.
Back in the days, we didn't have
so
that.
So if you ever wonder, what is Pastor Dan doing on his phone? I'm talking to pro presenter. Or the sound department.
That's
like,
right.
Hey, guys, it's too loud.
Well, you know, some of these birthday stories are cool. What are your, you know, again, over 37 years, a lot of testimonies, a lot of lives changed.
Yeah.
A lot of people come getting saved, and a lot of people have come, a lot of people have gone and gone on to do some amazing things.
Yeah.
And so it's been really cool to see that. I think that's one of the testimonies that we get to celebrate in 37 years because that's a whole nother adult. I mean, 37 years, that's a full grown and you probably, there's probably some
kids.
Grandkids.
Yeah. Kids and grandkids, maybe.
So I know, you know, Jim and Deborah, our founding pastors, birthed something, and they had an amazing team around 12 people. And how many? I feel like So I still see Ken on Saturdays.
Ken and Karen.
Were they a member number?
They're OGs, yeah. They're part of that.
The part of the 12.
Yep. Yep,
and then Barb is part of the
12. Barbara Harworth is a part, yeah.
So that's really cool.
I mean, that's at least three. Mm-hmm. Four if you count Jessica. Yeah. Five if you count Pastor Deborah. So we're doing pretty good.
Yeah, we're getting there.
Right? Almost half. it's kind of neat to see that. Some of the founding members have moved to other parts of, the world. The United States, I think there's one up in Washington State and another one somewhere on the East Coast. I can't remember where they went. But we've got some some founding members. And it's neat because when you hear the stories, it's interesting because God had something specific at the Rock that he was doing. And there were some other churches that were large around at the time. And one of them shut down.
Yeah.
And so all the members of that church came over to the Rock. Mm-hmm. And so there was some rapid growth. Mm-hmm. I mean, in the early years, I mean, it went from like 12 to 200 pretty quick.
Wow. Yeah.
Which a lot of churches strive to get to that point. In fact, if you look at like leadership and church planting organizations, mm-hmm. they want you to have over 200 when you start because they want you to have that momentum. Mm-hmm. And so they'll do interest parties and, you know, gatherings and all that kind of stuff, trying to get to that number and break that.
Yeah.
So The Rock, just by having hearts for God and you know, just launching out into something, that church closed, another church closed. I think there was a total of three.
Wow.
One of them had a pastor. At the time, he was not doing what he should be doing. Mm-hmm. And so some of the members started to come over to The Rock because they knew Jim and Deborah because they had been a part of that church in the past.
Okay.
So there were some connections and things like that. They weren't trying to take from another church, but because there was a knowing that they were there and because they were solid at that time. Like I said, there was some things that were going on there that just weren't healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And so they started to come over and I mean just it rapidly expanded. And and Pastor Jim talks about in his book Fellowship, there was a season where with the altar call and what God was doing, that they'd add like 600 people a month. And it was just like, what is happening? Right. But then he talks about how his pride got involved and how God just shut the water off like that, you know? So, you know, we all have to go through those things and learn and grow and mature. But The Rock as a church matured over the years, too, which is neat. When I came in 2000, and, you know, I remember that Pastor Jim changed the name. Mm-hmm. It used to be The Rock Christian Center. Yeah. And that kind of was like the thing at the time, you know.
Yeah. I went to a church called the Living Rock Christian Center.
Christian Center. Yeah, it was always a Christian center, you know. I think even Cottonwood was Cottonwood Christian Center, you know, CCC. Now the Cottonwood Church. You know, but I remember when Pastor Jim changed the name from the Rock Christian Center to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center, you know, and there was a distinction that we are a church, but we also are a world outreach and that things are going to come from this place and go out to the world. And, it's just been a neat, thing to see, when I joined and started working at the church, like we said, you know, I was working over that summer. Yeah. I remember taking a scraper and scraping all of the old foam letters off the wall that said Rock Christian Center. And I reworked them, and then I had to cut some new ones. And so we got the foam cutter and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And made the Rock Church World Outreach Center. Yeah. So thankfully, I could still use center and rock, you know. But then Christian, I turned it into like church, you know, so I had the CH, you know. And so we had to redo, you know, some
of
those things.
Recycle, reduce, reuse.
There you go, you know. And we cut it out and put those up and painted them, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's kind of fun memories back there.
There's a church leadership adage that I've heard, honor the past and look forward to the future. And I think of, you know, I think that's one of the things that we've done well over 37 years is honor the past while keeping our sights set on the future. And I think about the importance of honor. I mean, as we've had different offerings and camp building campaigns and people that have sown and people that are no longer here, but while they were here, they had a vision. And I think Pastor Deborah said it so beautifully once, talking about like we're sitting on seats that other people literally paid for financially with their prayers, with their dreams. And I think that's one of the things, you know, to be someone who is a beneficiary of those things. But also know like our time will come too, where we are always keeping our mind that there's another generation coming. And that part is always this really the emotional and spiritual part that I see of celebrating a birthday. Because, you know, when we celebrate birthdays of people, you know, there's, you know, what an amazing year we've had. And as a church, that we really get to sit in things that people sowed and that they sacrificed for, and they came and they gave. You know, we see our ushers now and our greeters now. They come early. They pray. You know, people did that before us, and people will do that after us. And that's an amazing thing when we stop, reflect, think about. What's a reflection or a thought that you would think about coming to another year? I know 37 is not, a decade birthday, but every year has some kind of reflection to it.
Well, I do know that, like, thinking about the Bible college, because it is a decade, you know, mm-hmm. it's 30. This is our 30th Bible college graduation. And, you know, just it amazes me. We talked about the rapid growth and the onset of the church. I mean, 7 years into this church, they started leadership development.
Yeah.
And they recognized the need to mm-hmm. train up next generation leaders.
Yeah.
And that's been a pillar of the church for since Pastor Jim and Deborah were a part of it. They laid out the seven pillars of the rock. What does that look like? You know, Proverbs says wisdom has hewn out her mm-hmm. seven pillars.
Yeah.
And so one of them was leadership development and training up next gen leaders. And that's not just the Bible college, but the Bible college is a big part of that. Mm-hmm. And so just to see, you know, one of my reflections, we talked about kids, you know, and that being a full grown adult, you know, now I'm 45, I still don't have grandkids. That's okay. I'm telling my kids, don't rush.
Please.
Let's first comes love, then comes marriage, then comes the baby and the baby kids.
Yeah.
But, taking a look at what has already been birthed out of this church, you know, sometimes the Rock has been criticized for us not having an aggressive stance of church plants with our name on them. Mm-hmm. And people have said, hey, we need a Rock somewhere else, you know. Now, I've never personally felt the calling to do that. I mm-hmm. felt a personal calling to pastor this church, to raise up this as a local church, to steward what God has placed here. However, God has in his heart mm-hmm. other churches that carry the DNA, and maybe they don't bear the name Rock, mm-hmm. but they're still carrying as sons the unique expressions that may look like us in some ways.
Yeah.
But in other ways, they're totally unique to the areas that they're in. Right. And I think that has to be, mm-hmm. you know. And I could list pastors, you know, Steve Mendoza mm-hmm. came out of us.
Yeah.
You know, you take a look at that, Rock Temecula, Henny mm-hmm. and Miranda Bosman.
Right.
Happens to be family, you know, and they do bear the name. And they're amazing, wonderful. Pastor Eddie and Donna with C3.
Yeah.
Pastor Tom Flores with Elevate Life. Mm-hmm. And that's just to name a few. There's more. I mean, we have a pastor in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And they were on our maintenance team, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and I get this email out of the blue and, hey, pastor, you know, we're out here and we're doing, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, mm-hmm. people have taken what God has done here. And these are Bible college graduates too, you know, they've taken what they've learned here and they've gone mm-hmm. and they've gone out and have been successful.
Right.
You know, and there's nothing more joyful to me than the multiplication that God brings through a church that's healthy mm-hmm. and that is producing not just new salvations and building itself up, but the kids have to move, the kids have to expand, the kids have to grow. And mm-hmm. and that's, you know, the initial, you know, charge that God gave to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, right?
So good.
Subdue and have dominion. Yep. And so I think that that's so neat that we get to see that naturally happen. And that was the charge of Jesus too, when he reinstated the new covenant, instated the new covenant.
Yeah.
Reinstated the purpose of man to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Mm-hmm. And so to see people spreading out from the Rock, you know, when I think about the Rock in 37 years and I think about the influence globally that this church has, you know, even our discipleship materials, I was just told that on Tony Cook's website, he's going to be posting our Women in Ministry book, but as well the discipleship materials for pastors.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not like me, mm-hmm. that's not anything that we did to make happen. It's just that God has something on this house that he's multiplying. And I couldn't be more happy, mm-hmm. you know, because everything that God gave us, what do we have that God didn't give us? Nothing, right?
Right.
And because God gave it to us, then when we give it to someone else, you know, I believe that's the heart of Jesus. Freely you've received, freely give. And you can
see. Open hand. Yeah.
Yeah, you can see the family resemblance when it comes to the generosity, when it comes to salvation, when it comes to taking care of people. You know, there have been other churches who have just come together. I mean, there were people that sat with Pastor Jim and Deborah, how do you do church?
Right.
And they told them, and they did it, and their churches blew up, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the heart of a generous house. That's mm-hmm. the heart of a people that says, you know what, we'll give you anything.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think you're laying out a marker or a metric for health and for finding success again. So if we apply an anniversary, a year, reflection into our own lives, I mean, you talked about that metric of multiplication.
And sure.
We talked about it in our sowing series, and here we are. It's something about that, and we see, because God gives us, and what are we going to do with it?
Right.
Will we put it in the ground, or we will allow it to multiply? And so I think, you know, as a church, we probably could put things in the ground and keep and hold and be close-fisted, but that's not God's way, and that's not God's design. And we've seen, whether it's been with intentionality or organically, God is multiplying things and creating, as we see God's body and his house expand and do some amazing things, which is always, always fun and cool.
Yeah.
Now, any fun stories over the years? Or I mean, maybe even just this last year. What does any moment stand out, stick out?
Oh, gosh, this man. I'm trying to think about 37.
You're coming up on 10 years. You and Pastor Jessica leading as senior pastors.
Absolutely.
Has it been 10? Is it going to be 10?
It's going to be 10 in October, So, I mean, that's a big milestone when you think about it, a decade of pastoring. Mm-hmm. And definitely, it's funny, one of the young guys came to me and said, Pastor, you know, how was it when you were getting into that transition? Was it exciting?
Yeah.
And I had to burst his bubble and say no. And there were several reasons around it. One was because we were grieving that Pastor Jim and Deborah, who, not just our parents, you know what I mean? Like, they're my in-laws, but they're our pastors. Mm-hmm. And we held them in such high regard that when they stepped back, it was like, whoa, you know, what's happening here? You know, who's going to fill that spot? And then at the same time, I've got my brother-in-law, Luke, who I dearly love and who, you know, we were taking it together. And all of a sudden there was a shift and things took place. And it was God's hand, because I see what he's doing now. Man, that guy's going gangbusters in Oregon.
Yeah.
You know,
he's
down at 30,000, yet he's got a church of 1,200 and just, I mean, like, amazing, you know, and killing it up there. Yeah. And I couldn't be more happy for him. And I was able to go and preach at his church, and just to see what God is doing there, I'm like, this is God, you know, like he's in the right spot, doing the right thing.
Yeah.
But in the moment, it was like, well, what about Luke, you know, and what happens there, you know, and what's going to happen in the future? So we were kind of grieving going into this, and it felt like we couldn't celebrate, you know, but we can see, you know, wisdom is proven by her children, right? The proof's in the pudding is the modern day statement of that. And we can see what God was doing. We can see where God was moving things. And so for us, you know, these past 10 years, as tough as they've been, you know, even with, you know, my dad passing in 2020, Pastor Jim passing, you know, year and a half ago almost, and that sort of a thing, there's been some tough things along the way. And this past year, even with Pastor Jessica, her health, she's had some surgeries and some scares. They were using the C word.
All right.
We praise God. There's no cancer, you know, and she's healthy and she's strong. And so, yeah, I mean, in the midst of all that, you know, we're still learning.
Yeah.
We're still growing. And I think that's the neat thing about a church as a body, right? Yeah. We as a body are still learning and growing, you know, and to see some of the wins over the, I mean, Easter these past 2 years has just floored me. You know, when you talk about reflecting.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's these videos, and Aaron, you know, point off camera, and Aaron has been the one that's been up in the catwalks taking these pictures. It looks like ants crawling down out of the back parts of the sanctuary, coming to the altars, you know. Aaron sent me a picture as well of someone in our church that had an ankle monitor on that was at our altars.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, those are the things, you know. I play golf every so often. I don't play enough, but when I play golf, I'm terrible at it. I play the whole course, and by the whole course, I mean this side, that side, the sand trap, the water. But, you know, and eventually I'll get it into the cup.
Yeah.
But you know, it on the golf course, out of 18 holes, there's always that one shot where you hit it and you see that ball just go.
Yeah.
You know, I had one time I played a terrible game of golf on the 18th hole. I was down this hill. I had a chip shot. It hit the top of the flag and rolled right in.
Wow.
And I was like, I'm coming back. You know, like,
enough to get you back.
There's one shot. You know what I mean? And as difficult as pastoring can be, because it's tough. It's hard dealing with issues. It's hard dealing, especially in an organization this large. And then you add the issues that people deal with that we pastor. You know, it's not fun to go on hospital visits.
Right.
You don't like seeing people hurting in a hospital bed. It's not fun to have marital spiritual guidance where people are at each other, you know, and you're wondering, are they going to get a divorce? Mm-hmm. It's not fun when children aren't serving the Lord and they're doing their own thing, and you're talking to a grieving parent that's crying over their child. You know, those things are hard. Mm-hmm. But there's always those moments that keep you coming back. And for me, those are those highlight moments. Yeah. Like, oh, look at this. They're getting it. Look at what's happening here. You know, think about the Holy Spirit nights that Pastor Jess has led over these past year, and just to see people pressing into God and tearing and taking time with God. And, you know, you see people that sign up for Bible college even, you know, and I read their papers in my Blood Covenant class and it's like, oh my gosh, they got it, you know? And for me, that's that swing that keeps me coming back. That's that thing that says, hey, it's worth what we're doing. It's worth all the trials and the challenges, you know? This is it. Like, I'm so grateful.
Yeah.
You know, those are those things.
Well, I think, you know, because of, you know, a birthday, we say 37, you know, we've been here 15, 20, 25 years. For someone newer to the church, I think the takeaway is just that you're part of something bigger.
Yeah.
And that God, whenever we are teamed up with God, that's always bigger than us. And he sees, and we, whatever, you know, Pastor Deborah has talked about churches, pastor parades, because people come, there's ebbs and flows in life. Maybe you're here now, but your work's going to move you to another city or state, and you'll have to leave this church and go to another church. But whatever time you spend in God's house, it's not wasted, and there's always some takeaways that we can be part of. If you're part of the church family, you're part of a local body, you're part of the ecclesia, the gathering of his people, I think that there's always encouragement in that. And so for someone who is just joining the family, or someone who's been a part of the family for a long time, they can, maybe they don't have a lot of these other memories, but they can make new memories in the family, in the house. You know, I think it's kind of in our personal families, you go out, you make memories by doing little things, doing little projects, backyard bonfires or vacations or whatever. In the same way as in our local church with our church family, what kind of memories can we make? The serving after service. And I mean, because some of my stories of The Rock go to times with other people that we were serving for large events. I remember one 4th of July, we had fireworks, and sometimes you're like, they didn't go quite the way it was supposed to go.
Yeah, I remember that. Wow.
And we've never had fireworks again.
Never had fireworks. Well,
you guys do fireworks well.
Yeah, the guy was lighting all the fireworks. One of them tipped over at the crowd and shot right past a kid's head. And that would have been terrible if it had hit him.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Inches.
Yeah, that's a wild. Ugh. So, yeah, and then scary, I remember we did... we used to, now we have our trunk or treat, but we used to do full on harvest carnivals.
Yeah.
Where imagine trunk or treat plus a carnival plus a fair. And it was wild. So we've done, you know, there's been some really fun and memorable events and gatherings and just services. And I mean, like you mentioned, the Holy Spirit nights, those always stand out because God shows up in powerful ways. And again, not that he's relegated to Holy Spirit nights or anything like that, but I think there's something about when we approach God with an openness, and man, God is really breathing on this house, and it's
absolutely
special. It's really special to be a part of and to see.
Well, we're just getting started, and I know that when we look towards the future, you know, when you think about 37 years, and like you said, it's kind of like, it's not like a decade year or anything like that, and 30 years of the Bible college, but you know, we're always growing, we're always adapting, and I think that's the neat thing, is that ministry is changing. And we're seeing things about the community and even about the way people are built, you know. And if we're going to reach into the next generation, we're starting to make some of those changes. I'm starting to gather more young people around me and ask them questions. What do you think about this? What would you like? What would you call this? What image speaks to you? You know, we're trying to start growing younger because we don't want to grow gray-headed and get old and die, you know. We have to reach a new generation. And definitely as the needs of people change, too. We're going to where they're at. I don't know if our viewers and listeners know this, but we just started TikTok. Now, we're probably late to this game. But, you know, if this is where people are getting things, then we wanted to go to where they're at. And so, you know, that's one of those things that's just a part of that. I don't have TikTok. I don't understand it, you know, and that sort of a thing, or how it works. But I know that people are watching videos and people are finding things on there. And so we wanted to be in that space and go to where people are at and meet them where they're at. You know, that's like Jesus going to the well to meet up with a Samaritan woman. You know, he had to go through Samaria. Why? Because he was going to meet up with that woman. But then what happened? It broke open. That everybody came out, you know? And I think that's where we're looking at, who are we going to go and meet? Who are we going to go and minister to? You know, what are the new things that we need to be doing? You know, someone was just talking to me about backpacks the other day as an outreach. We used to do back to school bash and do backpacks. And we realized our numbers were dwindling over the years of the numbers that we were giving out. And so we said, what can we do differently? And that's where we started giving out shoes. And so now we've seen more and more that shoes have been a need in our area.
Right.
And this has opened up the door to schools and to involvement. You know, that was one of the big things this year that was a pleasure to see, because we've been believing God to get into the school systems for a while. And it's been little things here and there, little openings. Yeah. And we've been able to do some stuff. But this last, they did a carnival, and it was the Loving My City event. And I'll tell you, it was absolutely amazing. And afterwards, the school district supervisors came to us and they said, hey, we need to do this more. And we want you to be in other campuses and other parts. And it's like all those years of plowing, you know, all those years of praying, all those years of, will this work? Will that work? Well, you know, and our first shoe drive got shut down at the end. We put the last pair of shoes on the last kid's feet, and they shut down the world for COVID. You know, it was like, what a memory, right? Yeah. But now here we are doing that, and, and not just shoes, carnival games and prizes and giveaways, raffles, bikes, I mean, all sorts of stuff. And they're saying, hey, we need to do this more. Right. And that this year is a win. And so I'm looking forward to the future. What is that going to look like for the school system?
Yeah.
What kids are we going to reach now that when they're adults are going to be a part of this church?
Yeah.
You know, or a part of someone else's church.
Yeah. You know, it makes me think about those families and teams that came to previous outreaches and facilitated those to strengthen the foundation to be able to be here in this place. Yeah. That didn't just happen.
Oh, yeah.
Right? People who served in previous years that made us keep going. Because imagine if there was no one for a previous year, oh, maybe we wouldn't do it this year.
Mm.
And because of their labors, their prayers, their sowing, you're able to keep going and doing those things. So I think that's a really cool thing, again, because we do want to be a church that honors the people who have gone before us and really sown their time. But at the same time, be relentless about what the future looks like and what the future holds. And don't be so far back. I was spending time in Joshua, and I noticed how, you know, the priests were told to, or after the priests had crossed and the children of Israel had crossed, they said, hey, everyone go get a stone and we're going to basically build a monument.
Right.
That resonated for me so much, because the monument was supposed to be something that was a reminder. It wasn't like a annual pilgrimage. It's not like, hey, let's go keep doing this way.
Right.
It wasn't the tradition. It was supposed to be a reminder. And I think of sometimes we can get caught up with trying to do things the same way. And but back in my, imagine if those parents would have said, oh no, we got to cross and do this. And man, like, we have the reminders of those things, and that's how we can honor people. And I think for my personal challenge is not get so tied up with the way I did something, and I toiled and I prayed and I led this way, and it's like, that's how I did it. Let's remember his faithfulness in that.
Yeah.
But if we're going to change it, let's do it, because it's going to change. It has to change.
It has to.
Yeah.
Absolutely, it has to. And I think that's where, you know, for those of you that were in the church service this past weekend, you know that there's new things coming. Mm-hmm. There's new, we talked about church plants, you know, things like that. And, you know, we're excited about that. But there's more ministry to do.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I think with the purchase of the properties around us, and we're starting to expand those things and getting a full-size field soon, you know, we're working on that and making that happen. That's going to expand ministries, you know. That's going to be something that I believe is going to reach people where they're at.
Yeah.
They need that community, and they need those expressions in their lives. You know, additionally, trying to get La Roca back to Sunday mornings. That's a goal that's been on my heart for a long time. Mm-hmm. We're not going to let things like finances, mortgages, you know, hold us back. We're going to move forward with the plan of God.
Amen.
And we just have to declare it.
Yeah.
And we have to start taking a look at, okay, God, what are the things we need to do now so that we can in the future? You know, we said this, the best time to plant a tree.
Yeah.
20 years ago.
Yeah.
Second best time is now. Right. And so what do we need to do right now for the future? And and that's where my heart is focused. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm looking at. And hopefully that's where this church is getting on board with, you know, that we're looking at, okay, here's a season that we're in right now. 30 years of Rock Bible College, training up leaders, empowering people to go and do the work of the ministry, to be the full-time ministers.
Yeah.
How are we going to reach people for the future? Because otherwise we'll stop.
Yep.
You know, but we're just getting started at the Rock, and that's exciting.
That's awesome, Pastor Dan. Well, happy birthday, Rock Church family. We love you guys. It wouldn't be a church family without you. Have you seen, there's these, speaking of TikTok, there's the trends of like, see you in church. It wouldn't be church without you, you know, like, you know, because there's the you in church.
Yep.
Anyways, so for days, guys, we have these for days, but it wouldn't be church without you guys. We love you. God bless you.
Happy birthday, Rock family. Love you.